Imagine you go on the trip of a lifetime with your friends, but while you're away, you suffer a stroke. Then you have the problem of being miles away from home in an exotic location and trying to get yourself medical attention and get yourself home. That's what happened to a local man, Aidan Mooney. He's currently stranded in India. His friend Kevin is with him. But their problems don't end there. They've been battling with Aidan's insurance company, Travel Insurance Facilities, or TIF, to try and get home. Earlier, I spoke to Kevin, and he was speaking to me from Aidan's hospital room in India.
I've been coming to this part of the world for 25 years. I know it really well. We really love it here, and I've spoken to Aidan about it for years. We had been planning to come at the end of February this year, myself and my wife, and about 4 or 5 months ago, I asked Aidan if he'd like to come. He said he would, so we organised a trip, and we flew out on the 20th of February.
And it's an important part as well, the fact that you've been before, because it's not as if you're travelling blind. You're well aware of the sort of things that you'll come across and how to prepare yourself in terms of the whole insurance thing of going somewhere like India.
Yeah, I mean, when I first came to India 25 years ago, it was a tough place to travel in. But these days, you know, what with the internet and Skype and this, that, and the other, it's India's as modern as Belfast is.
So you feel you've got yourself properly covered. You've all the insurance that you'll need for your trip in terms of what could possibly go wrong. And then, tragically, something does go wrong.
Indeed. On our first full day here, well, we've been out for a nice meal. We'd had a couple of beers, nothing, you know, 2 beers each. We come back to our room. My wife went to bed to read. Aidan and I were sitting out in the veranda chatting, probably about football. He began to slump over. And at first I thought that he was tired and he'd fallen asleep. But then I noticed that his mouth had begun to slump. And I'd seen that public information film that they show at home about, you know, the quicker you act, the more of the person you save.
Mm.
And I immediately suspected that he was having a stroke, although I couldn't believe it. Aidan's only 32. Where we were is quite secluded. It's one of the reasons why we like it. But having said that, we were half a mile away from the nearest road. So I immediately found some local guys, and we had to carry Aidan bodily half a mile to the nearest road. It was just awful. I'm not the fittest myself. I thought I was going to have a heart attack myself.
So you got him to hospital?
An ambulance to take us to KIMS, Kerala Institute of Medical Science, which I knew by reputation is an excellent hospital. So 2 hours passed between Aidan, the stroke first happening, and us getting Aidan into KIMS.
And I mean, when a friend or someone that you know is seriously ill and it's happening before your eyes, I'd imagine it's a dreadful time. But for it to be happening in a foreign country when you're sort of on your own and you've all sorts of problems that you're going to encounter, it must have been dreadful for you both.
My wife and I were most probably in shock.
Mm.
You know, it was just unimaginable. And the ambulance ride to the hospital was just awful. The gurney was moving about the place. Aidan was having fits and convulsions, as is common when someone's having a stroke. I now know. We got him to the hospital, and that was great. As soon as we got him to the hospital, I knew he was in good hands. This is an excellent facility, and I've nothing but praise for this place.
But that was only the start of
that was only the start of our nightmare.
Really, because, yes.
Our nightmare is his insurance company. His insurance company have been awful to deal with from the start. Oh, I mean, unimaginably awful. I can't believe how bad they've been.
Well, what was the first contact you had? How did that all start?
The problem was that Aidan had his insurance details in an email, and for the first 2 days he was kept under a medically induced coma, so we couldn't get his insurance details. And we didn't know if the Aidan that we know and love would wake up. So that was quite stressful. But after 2 days, he woke up. He was lucid. He was able to give us the details of how to get into his email. We got his insurance details and made initial contact with the insurers. That was 2 days after the stroke, probably I think the 3rd of March. On the 4th of March, we emailed them a detailed medical report from his consultant. And, you know, waited for contact. Nothing. Again, nothing came. We're phoning every day, asking them, you know, what are you doing? What's happening? And they were completely unhelpful, and it seemed to me unsympathetic. On the 8th of March, a doctor called us and spoke and said that as a matter of course, when someone has a stroke, you can't fly them home for 3 weeks. So the earliest Aidan could come home was the 23rd. We weren't happy about that, but, you know, we accepted it. He also indicated that part of his insurance, he would repatriate myself and possibly my wife back with Aidan, and they would send a nurse out from the UK to take him home as well.
And that was going to be on the 23rd at the earliest, which was what?
Yeah,
Saturday.
Yep.
So where are you at now? Has that happened? Is it likely to happen, or what's
no,
Aidan's condition?
It's not. At the moment, where we are now is his. It's been passed to another doctor, who doesn't seem so nice and who spoke to me incredibly rudely last week, and he's supposedly phoning tomorrow and reviewing the case. And so we might, you know, he said we might get home Thursday or Friday, but that's for him to decide tomorrow. And what they've told his family is that they'll only deal with him or the person who made initial contact, which is me. And I've been emailing them every day saying, well, fine, deal with me, talk to me, tell me what's happening. And they're not phoning. I've given them the number of this room. I've given them my email address. They're not phoning. They're not getting in touch. I've had one conversation with their doctor. The man said to me, "Just leave him. Just leave him. It'll be fine. Just leave him. In fact, if you can afford to take a holiday in India, you can afford to just leave him and go home."
In a statement, they say that the insurer's appointed assistance team have been and remain to be in constant communication with Mr. Mooney, his family and friends, treating
absolutely
hospital
not
and providers. What do you
absolutely
say?
Absolutely not true. As I say, I haven't spoken to anyone from the insurer since last Friday, which was the doctor.
Do you believe and do you have any sort of medical evidence to back this that Aidan is ready and is medically fit to fly home?
The hospital say he is. His consultant says he is.
So what's the delay?
Apparently, they say that the consultant isn't an expert in medical flights, and that this guy from the insurers is.
So how do you now bridge that gap? Are you totally in limbo? Do you not know what you need to do to convince the other doctor?
We're considering his family having to pay a substantial amount of money. Also, they claim to have paid. We presented them with an interim bill for £3,250 for his first 2 weeks of care here, Joel. £3,250. It's nothing. That wouldn't pay for one day's hospital in Europe. And they've been claiming now for over a week that they've paid it. I've just been down to the office of the hospital to check again, and the bill still isn't paid.
They say that as soon as they are given the clearance to fly, they'll arrange it, and it won't be delayed. The difficulty, and it's this period of limbo that you are now currently sitting in, that the doctor in India is saying, absolutely. The doctor that the insurance company are relying on is saying, I'm not convinced. So how does one doctor convince the other is basically your quandary, is it?
Yes. The insurance company have been so inactive that we've lost trust and confidence in them.
What are you going to do?
If they keep refusing to send him home this week, if this guy refuses to send him home tomorrow, we're going to take matters in our own hands and find the money through friends and family to get myself and himself home. He needs to be home, Joel. Really needs to be home.
How is he?
Let's just say he needs to be home.
Hmm. Because you don't want to be away from home whenever you're at your lowest point in terms of your
exactly.
health.
He's very far away from home in a country that he's never been to before. And
I mean, if you're saying that you're prepared to try and get him home off your own steam, then obviously you have confidence in the medical people who you're dealing with, because you wouldn't be taking the risk of putting your friend's life at risk again.
The people in this hospital.
You wouldn't be taking any sort of risk with his health by trying to arrange to get him home off your own steam if you didn't have total confidence in what the doctors there were telling you?
Well, before when the medical bill is paid, the hospital actually issue what's called a fit to fly notice, because the airlines won't take someone from a hospital to an airplane without this fit to fly document. So we will, you know, when the medical bill is paid, we'll get that.
This £3,200 and something pounds that is outstanding, will they let Aidan leave before that bill is paid? Or if you're going to have to do this off your own steam, are you going to have to pay for that as well before you can get him on the plane?
No, they won't discharge him until the medical bill is paid in full.
So,
which is fine. It's fine and understandable.
Yes, but if this drags on and the insurance company don't pay this for another week or so and you're running out of patients and you're thinking, right, we need to get Aidan home, you're going to have to find the money for that first before you even consider the cost of getting him home.
Yeah, that's right. It's a nightmare upon a nightmare. It's just unbelievable.
And a statement that says that, you know, it's a live case and is being managed with Mr. Mooney's best medical interests as a priority, and upon a safe return home, you can respond with any grievances. That doesn't really do you a lot of good at this stage, does it?
Yeah, I mean, we could go to the Ombudsman, we could go to the Association of British Insurers, but those wheels turn very slowly. And, you know, we need to get Aidan home now.
That was the story of Aidan Mooney, who's in India and who suffered a stroke while he was there. That was his friend Kevin, who was speaking to me from his hospital room in India. Just to bring you up to date on that, we recorded that interview and we contacted the insurance company, TIFF, and the lads have been in touch to say that the insurance company's UK doctor has all of a sudden now given them the okay to fly, and the flights are being arranged as we speak. And it looks as if Aidan will be back home very, very soon, which I'm sure will come as a huge relief to Aidan's family and all of his friends, and in particular Kevin, who you heard there was very, very concerned about him. So that's good news for Aidan, who'll hopefully be back with his family very, very soon and on the road to recovery.